But now I've given Dave all kind of liberty because whenever he brought me the message that Zane wasn't going to be here, he went back and sat down, and I turned around and I pointed at him. And he turned a little white too, but then he came up afterwards. He says, I do have notes. So Dave's going to give you a little bit about what Barry meant to him, but he might want to preach a little bit too. So Dave, we've got time, so you just come on, brother.
I'm a little scared to touch this podium. Steve spends a lot of time here, and I'm afraid my tongue might roll out roll tight or something like that. If I get in contact and my shirt turns crimson, please tell me. I'm very honored to be here. I'm very honored to be here. I see a lot of new faces, and that's exciting. I'm meeting people from Florida, Ohio. I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm sure you all know that this message isn't very popular. If you want to become real popular and unpopular at the same time, get saved by the grace of God. I was talking to a Pentecostal girl there at the motel this morning. And she of course, if you know what the Pentecostals believe, she of course went right down the thought line of the water and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you're saved by water. I tried to get her off of that, and I tried to explain to her that the Apostle Paul is her apostle today, and her message of salvation is in his books, Romans through Philemon. I said, you do know who I'm talking about, don't you? She says, yeah, I've heard about him once or twice. And I thought about it later. I wished I would have asked her what her church offers her that she sticks so loyally to what she is taught. You know, and I said something to her. I said, you know, I said, sin today is not the issue. Sin's been taken care of. And she goes, that's interesting. But right behind that, I mean, there wasn't even a moment of silence. She goes, that's a lie from the devil. She was caught. She understood it just for a split second, but her religion came and clouded it. So, yes, I'm very honored that, I don't know what to give to attribute to Barry. Steve pretty much said everything. But there is more. There's lots more. Barry was like the spiritual father I never had. My dad, of course, very faithful, going to church. We lived on a dairy farm 13 miles from church, and in my childhood, I could probably count on my fingers how many times we were late for church. It was very, very important to go to church. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. In all those years, my dad never taught me the gospel of grace. So Barry is my spiritual father because he showed to me the truth of God's word, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, we'd sit down. Barry used to come up and test blood for 2 years before he shared the gospel with us. And I think it's all about timing. Barry was very sensitive to when he knew that we would be accepted to what he has to say. And we would sit down and discuss different things of Scripture. And he kept telling me, call me. I love to talk about the Bible. And, you know, he would show me things, and I was just as blind as it could be. You know, I didn't see it. You know, I agreed with him, but yet I didn't. And I wasn't understanding what was going on. For all my life, there's many times I walked up to the altar here and, like Barry would say, slung snot and tears all over the altar. It would last but a moment because that ugly, vile, sinful self of mine would come up again. I never understood what to do with the problem called sin. Never understood that until Barry showed me that Christ became that. Most beautiful message I've ever heard. So my question to you this morning, are you saved? If not, why not? There's been plenty, every one of these guys that preached this so far laid it out plain and clear. That's only something you can answer. Are you saved? If you are, praise God. If not, why not? What's the point? Is it pride? Ask yourself that question. You are the only one that can answer that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. This is one thing Barry was always very, very good at. Ask him any question, he would say, turn to so-and-so. Barry loved the Word of God. But you know, he was just a man. I know he would not be impressed for me to stand up and talk about him this morning. He would tell me, preach the cross, Dave. I was nothing. There's nothing. He would say there's nothing good about me. And he was true. That was true. He loved this book. And another thing he would always say when you ask him, or as he was teaching, one of his famous things he would say, he says, watch this. And he would turn to this scripture and beautifully tie everything together. The man loved the Word of God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on to say how there was over 500 witnesses of this. Was there ever a moment in your life where the devil would come and say, oh, what you believe is crazy? You know, we all have down days. We all have days where it's a little suppressing. Where is your hope? What secures your salvation? When in doubt, go to the Bible. I always find, you know, with all the religion I was taught all my life, I lived by a little blue book about that big and that big with rules and regulations. And when you're indoctrinated in that for years and years, that's what pops up. I wished I could do like a computer. I wished I could erase it all and reinstall. But I can't. But yet, that has been a helpful tool with me. It's not all bad, because it drives me to the Word to see what is going on. And my hope is secure because of the Word of God. Turn to Ephesians 2. I think Ephesians and Colossians are by far my favorite books. Another thing Barry was really, really good at, the last class, he was very, that he taught up there, he was very emphatic. He said, you guys have got to get this. I think Barry knew it wasn't going to be long. We need to carry this on. And the very thing was, the very first time he started to teach, he brought us a bunch of pens, special pens to write in your Bible that don't bleed through. He says, if I'd be a good Bible student, I would write this and this in my Bible beside that verse. My Bible is full of notes because of Barry. The most precious thing, I would go probably out of my mind if I'd lose this Bible, because I have so much information in this Bible that makes my studying so easy because of the great teacher that I had. So I encourage you, when something in a message, write it in, because your brain won't remember it. That's the way they work. Write it down, because when you come back to it, it's right there. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It doesn't say anything that eventually will be saved. It says we are saved. It's by grace, through faith, and the key word is not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift. Have you received that gift? It's not about me. It's not about you. Titus 3:5 comes to mind. Turn to Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There again, it's not about what we do. It's about what he has done. It's about the faith of Christ. Can you imagine when God turned his back on Christ himself? He died because he became sin. Where did that take him? It took him to hell for you and I. The faith that he had to go through with this in God was incredible. He was alone. He went to hell for you and I. Obed did a great, great message on the worm that dieth not. I think fear of hell is a good thing because it makes you, if you're not saved, because it makes you get in and study. I don't fear hell because I know where I'm going. And I know there's some of you that are going with me, because I've heard your testimonies. I hope all of you go with me. But that's only a choice you can make. I can't do anything for you for that. It's a choice you're going to have to make. Another verse that I really love is, turn with me to Romans 8. We had a great lesson on this here recently with Steve Atwood coming to Kentucky. And that's another thing that we've been really, really blessed with is at Barry's funeral, there's several guys came and said, listen, we won't let you sit. We'll come up. And we have had, it's been wonderful. It's been very good. Steve comes twice a month. Obed comes sometimes. We got Norm Barton coming from Montgomery once a month. And yes, we have been very blessed. And we listen to Jerry Lockhart Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Saturday mornings if I can get up in time. I tell you what, some of your conservative people think that the internet's a bad thing. I love it because I can get the gospel through it. It's a great tool. There is so many archives. There's so many messages. If you live in an area where there's no church, get on the internet. It's all there. Beautiful, beautiful. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is where my testimony comes in play. For years and years and years, like I said, come to the altar, you would talk to somebody and it would make you feel good, and you'd pray the sinner's prayer, you would ask forgiveness. It lasts for but a moment. The key is in the latter part of this verse, who walk not after the flesh. I was trying to do it in my flesh. I was trying to do what I could do to bring peace. And I failed over and over and over again. It's not about me. It's not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done. Trust that. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. He died. He was buried. But again, he was raised for our justification. That's where it lies. Another thing Barry did really, really good was in Romans 3. Turn to chapter 3. For the first time, I understood why that never worked. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. And like Brian Seitz would say, in the other place where it says it, and for the dummies, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. When you come to the realization that you're good, but you aren't good enough, you have to come to that point. You've got to get lost first to get saved. And this is who we all are. We're all no good. And Barry would say that all the time. I'm not any good. Very, very impacting on my life. And yes, I'm so grateful, so thankful. I got Ephesians. Oh yeah, let's turn to Ephesians 1. I told Zane, I said, I think he's just trying to trick me out of having to get up here. We really enjoyed Zane. He was in our area a month or so ago, and he preached about five times for us in 2 days up there. We wore him out. But very great teaching and very, very joyed. I was so looking forward to seeing him again, but he can't make it. So here is what my mother said. I went to see my mom and dad after I got saved, and I wished I'd have waited a little longer. Because when you deal with people who have been raised in a works-based religion all their life, you better know what you're talking about. I went there, I was saved in January and went there in July. And that was hard because I didn't know my stuff. I'd like to talk to him now because I've had some really, really great teachers. And I'm understanding more and more all the time what's in this book. And I told my mom, I said, I'm sealed till the day of redemption. I'm sealed. She said, you will never get me to believe in eternal security. That hurts when your own mother says that, because it pretty well tells you where she's at. And when I told my dad my testimony, he looked at me like a look I've always seen in my life. He didn't believe it. And then he proceeded to tell me his testimony of all his happenings in his life, how he cleaned things up. It's sad, folks. But I will tell you something. When I think of my whole family, they're all in that church, very, very conservative Mennonite church. I know what they believe. I know it in and out. They can't fool me because I was taught well. But I know what they're trusting in. For me to be able to reach my family would be the greatest thing ever. Because knowing my family, if they would get this, we would have the most fun a person could have sitting around the Word of God. There's a friend of mine I met on Facebook, which you might be a grace believer if half of your Facebook friends you never met in life. There's some of you here I probably never met, might be my Facebook friend, I don't know. But there's a guy friended me on Facebook that lives 5 miles from my brother in Pennsylvania. And I told him, I said, man, I need you to go over and talk to him. And I gave him a little bit of the story. He said, they won't listen to me either. He said, my life isn't very perfect either. The problem is with a works-based religion, if you got stuff in your life that they know that you messed up, they won't listen to you because you're not good enough. So yes, when my mother told me she'll never believe in eternal security, that was hard. But I will say this, God knows who's going to get saved. And I have to rest in that because it's really out of my control. All I can do is give them the gospel. And it is what it is. Are they going to trust it or are they not? Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Any of you ever guys give earnest money on something? You know what earnest money does? It's a guarantee. And if you don't follow through with it, you're not getting your earnest money back. The Holy Spirit has sealed me until the day of redemption. There is nothing. I tell people it's kind of like a vacuum seal. You vacuum it and you heat seal it. There is no knife sharp enough in the devil's territory to cut that seal. The Holy Spirit has sealed me until the day of redemption. The key word is, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There's a lot of people who believe in grace. I had a lady on Facebook tell me, I believe in grace. I think we have a lot in common. I said, I hate to tell you this, we have nothing in common. I said, I believe that you believe in grace, but you don't trust in grace. There's a big difference. Very big difference. There's a lot of people. My dad believes in grace. But you know how he believes it? It covers it in case you messed up and don't remember you messed up, see? That, we were accused of believing in cheap grace. Can you imagine somebody calling grace cheap grace? When you stop and think of what our Lord went through for us, and you call that cheap grace? I think they believe in cheap grace. Covers them when they forget. Grace isn't cheap by any stretch of the imagination. It cost my Lord his life. There's so much more I could say. See where that other verse is that I want. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's some very, very powerful verses. You know, I know that works don't save me. I do good things because I'm kind of selfish, because it makes my life a little bit easier. It makes my relationships easier. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. The most powerful thing you guys carry around is your testimony. People may listen to that. They're scared of this book. You start pulling the Bible out, they get all nervous and scared. Give them your testimony. Give them what God has done for you. It's just powerful. It is, because that's very personal to you. So my question again is, are you saved? You can't tell me you didn't hear the gospel preached here today. The choice is yours. Praise God, I'm saved.
All right. Last year at our conference, we heard from someone that actually attended Brother Barry's church, and it was Brother Alan Owens. He gave a real wonderful testimony of how the Lord had worked in his life. He was going through some very difficult times in his life at that time, and so I went to him and I said, how about give us an update? And he's going to come and do that. He's had, I would imagine, what he would consider a really good year, even though it was a year that saw Barry pass away. And Alan's going to come and give us a word of testimony.
Well, good morning. I'm Alan Owens, and I attended Brother Barry's church for about a year, 2 years, with my wife. He really taught me how to rightly divide and what salvation is all about. Like Brother Steve said, I had a very good year this year. Last year when I was here, me and my, I guess I can say my ex-wife then, were going through some difficult times, and then Brother Barry's passing kind of brought us back together and help us console each other's over his death. And I'm happy to say that because of that, January 1st of 2011, we remarried. I've remarried the wonderful wife that I have, God has placed in my life. She's the godly woman that he wants me to be with. Last year she wasn't able to come, but this year she is. I thank Barry for that, for bringing us closer together, and God working through him, working through me. You know, this it's always hard to say, well, I'm going to be better this, I'm going to be better that, I'm going to do my best to be this way or that way. It's hard because we're living in the flesh. Satan is always nipping at us. But one thing that I know is my salvation, about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. And Pastor Steve was talking this morning about 9/11. And I work for the proper fire department down in close to Montgomery, Alabama. I'll always remember that day. Sitting at the fire station, seeing 343 of my brother firefighters die that day. You know? Didn't know any of them. I probably seen some of them at classes at the Emmitsburg, the National Fire Academy, or Indianapolis, where thousands of firefighters gather to train. Probably come across them, some of them. But today, when Pastor Steve was talking about it, I was thinking back there myself, I'm going, you know, how many of them were saved? You know? Out of those 343, how many were saved? How many of them knew what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them? And that one gift is free. The only thing I have to do is just accept it. There's nothing you got to do for it. How many of them were saved? You know? It's like us in the fire service. We were 24-hour shifts, and we're off 48. When we get up and go to work in the morning, we're not guaranteed to come home in the afternoon. Or that next morning, when the tone goes off, when you dial 911, we get on our trucks and we go to help. We're not guaranteed to come home. For years, I thought I was saved. Even when I met my wife, Kayla, when we first started dating, she asked me, "Are you saved?" "Yeah, I'm saved." I walked the aisle. Prayed, repented of my sins. Because my dad, he's a Methodist preacher. And that's how I grew up. I grew up in the Baptist. Then he went to the Methodist preacher denomination. And so I thought I was saved. For 45 years, I was kidding myself. In our fire hall, in the dining room, on our table, it says, "There's no greater than a man give his own life for his friends." I was standing there one day right after I got hired on at the fire department. They said, one of the guys says, "Hey, what do you think about that verse there?" I said, "Yeah, I can do that." Knowing in the back of my mind, I don't know. I do not know. So now, any time that we have a fire or we go to a bad wreck or we go to somewhere where we put our life in harm's way, I've got peace about it. You know, if we got to go make, if we have to go into what we call the devil's den, when we go into that house fire or that building fire, to where, you know, Brother OB said last night, you know, the temperature is over 12,000 degrees, well, that's what it feels like when we get in there. And that's why we call it the devil's den. We fight the devil every day, that heat. But it's not the devil that we need to be fighting. But I know if I don't come back, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But it's been a very good year. Brother Percy remarried me and Kayla down at Gulf Shores in January. It was raining. It was a nasty Saturday. But it was sunshine. Sunshine was shining on us. And the Lord was shining on us. And Auburn won a national championship. I had to throw that in, so but Last year was the first conference I've been to. Kayla tried to get me to come years before, and I just always had an excuse because Satan said, hey, look, you don't need to go. You know, don't worry about it. So last year I came, and it really touched me. It really got me motivated and learning all I could. Barry had started it. He had lit the fuse, and by coming to these conferences, the one in Gunnersville, now that fuse is still burning. But it's all about your salvation. You know, it's like we've been saying the whole week, you're either saved or you're not. And like Brother Steve always tells us, you know, if you die tonight, where would you go and why? You know? I had a text from my brother yesterday, a good friend of ours that grew up in church with us died yesterday. You know, I was thinking to myself, was he saved? You know? It's all about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The shedding of his blood sealed us. Just like Dave said, hey, I'm sealed. I am sealed. You know, when we get new recruits in, used to, I'd run them through an orientation. We'd put them through recruit school, and then we'd put them on shift. But now when we get them back from recruit school, I got 2 weeks with them before we put them on shift. The first thing I do when I tell them when they come in, I set them on the front row there in the tables and ask them, hey, this job that you're getting into does not guarantee you the right to go home at the end of the shift. We're not like most 8-to-5 people. When they go to work, they're going home to their folks. When you get up, when you come to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not guaranteed that you're going home at 8 o'clock the next morning. So, in this line of duty here, sooner or later you're going to face death. And if you're not saved, you need to get right with God. You need to accept his gift. In this last class, I did that. I told him, I said, look, I said, I don't know what your denomination is. I don't know what your salvation is. But I think starting right now, you need to make sure that you're right with God and you accepted his gift. So that way, when you have to make that decision to lay down your life for your firefighters or that victim that you're trying to save, you can do it without any hesitation because you know where you're going to spend eternity. And I fought with that a lot of years. I don't have to fight no more because I know when he shed his blood, it was for me and for everyone else in this room. I accepted that free gift. For years, I thought I had to do something for it. But now, you know, you don't. Just accept it. A couple weekends ago, I went down to see my dad, and we were sitting there at the kitchen table, and I had my Bible out. And he said, let me see your Bible, son. I said, here you go. He goes, you're taking a lot of notes. I said, yeah. I said, my pastor up in Montgomery, Barry, that's what he told us. He gave me a Bible pen. I said, here, write notes. And I even highlighted him. He said, you got all different colors. I said, yeah, different colors mean different things. I said, and the only books you need to know are Romans through Philemon. And he had that look on his face and said, what do you think about the rest of the Bible? I said, it's pretty good, but this is to me. These books right here are to me, okay? All the rest of it's for us, but this is to me. Just like Brother Steve told us. Those books are to you. The rest of it is for you. So we got to talking, and he says, well, son, when you pray, do you repent of your sins? I said, no. He looked at me like, why not? I said, because, Daddy, he's already forgiven me of my sins. You know, why do I have to ask for his forgiveness again? Is that not like just saying, hey, what you did on the cross wasn't good enough, so I'm going to ask you again. And he looked at me and he says, well, son, that's not how you pray. I said, Daddy, it don't matter how you pray. What you say, that's between me and God. I said, if you want to repent of your sins, that's fine. That's fine. I said, if you think you need to do that, that's okay. I said, but I know I don't have to because he's taken care of all my sins for me, for what he did on the cross at Calvary. And he just closed my Bible. He says, well, son, I know you're saved. I said, that's right. I said, you don't have to worry about me, Daddy. Now, my brother, that's another story. And Caleb will tell you. That's a whole other story. But it's been a very good year for us. It's like everything else in life. It's got its ups and downs, and it's bumpy. Satan is always nipping at you. He's going to stick his ugly head in there. But, I have learned that it's better just to stand back and just turn it all over to God. And he's going to make it all right. He's going to smooth the waters. Okay? Thank you.